beat so hard, my bass turn fun.
Read so hard, libraries trying to find me. They can't identify me. Checked in with a pseudonym, so I guess you could say I'm Mark Twaining. Read so hard,
that shit cray.
That shit cray.
Ain't it, eh?
Read so hard,
what you reading?
What you reading?
D-Montaigne.
Read
so hard,
you use a Kindle? I carry spine, supporting bookshelves like a bra. Calvin Klein.
Hi, you're listening to Drunk Booksellers. My name is Kim.
And I'm Emma.
And we are professional booksellers.
And casual drinkers. Today we're talking to Liberty Hardy, who is currently a roaming bookseller, former bookseller at River Run Bookstore in New Hampshire, co-host of All the Books podcast, contributing editor at Book Riot, judge for Booksven's Book of the Month Club, and self-proclaimed velociraptor. Holy crap. You do a lot of things. It's very impressive.
You didn't even mention my glamorous volunteer library job.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Where you straighten the shelves and confuse the librarians. That's a good job. Anyway, thank you for joining us, Liberty. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Thank you for asking me.
I want to start off with our literary drink, which I blame you for, and you need to explain yourself for what I have to consume right now.
It is Pabst Blue Ribbon. It's, okay, there's many reasons why I drink Pabst Blue Ribbon. One, because I live in Maine and I have tattoos. Like, it's a requirement. If you don't do it, they ask you to leave the state, basically. Also because it's vegan. Like, it used to be that a lot of beers had fish in them. It's not as common now, but they used to use, like, certain fish organs to make beer. And now they don't have to tell you if they use them. So PBR is definitely vegan. So it's safe to drink because I am vegan. And also, it's really cheap. I prefer to spend my money on books. So, you know, like, you can get two PBRs for, like, the price of a Stella. So, I mean,
yeah. You know. My tall boy only costs, like, $1.50.
Yeah. And that, like, $2, like, at a bar. So, I mean.
Yeah. I think the Pacific Northwest wins on this because I think my six-pack of PBR was the same price as a six-pack of, like, Imperial IPA.
So they're tricking the hipsters.
Yeah, well, they're monetizing the hipsters, so I guess we'll go for that.
Did anyway, somebody, so like, run up and yarn bomb your PBR as you were trying to talk about it?
No, but I felt super awkward because I was buying it at 11 in the morning along with Cheerios, milk, and coffee. And I was like, this is fine. This is fine. Don't mind me. Anyway, thank you for the drink, and thank you for joining us. And what are we reading right now, Emma?
I just started a book. Before I was reading just one book, and I was like, this is weird, I should probably be reading more than one book. So, I've been reading Naked Economics by Charles Whelan, which is, guys, it's really funny. Like, it's an economics book, and it's very interesting, and it's very funny. It's weird.
Like, ha-ha funny?
Yeah, I've laughed aloud while reading it.
Okay.
And, like, read bits aloud for the humor, not the knowledge. So, then I just started A Wild Swan by Michael Cunningham because it's really slim and I could read enough before we recorded that I would feel like legit saying that, yes, I am reading this. It's good. It's weirdo fairy tales. They're strange, but not in a Kelly Link strange way. They're strange in a, like, in a meta way.
Liberty, I'm going to go next because I'm assuming your list is going to be a lot longer than mine. So right now, I just binge read, like, all of Dana Simpson's Heavenly Nostril series, which is Phoebe and Her Unicorn, like, today. That's all I've been doing today. It's been a really good day. If anybody doesn't know Phoebe and Her Unicorn, it's, like, a kid's comic book series or comic book collection. There's three of them out, or two of them out now. The next one's coming out in February. But it's kind of Calvin and Hobbes if Calvin wasn't such a dick and Hobbes was a really narcissistic unicorn. But the intelligence is there, the kind of, like, adult interest is there, and my cat is currently chewing on my copy of it. Please stop that. Thank you. So it's really great, and everybody should read Dana's stuff. She's just absolutely fantastic. I'm also, unfortunately, reading the Ronda Rousey bio right now, My Fight, Your Fight, which is a book group pick for my book club, and it's okay. You know. It's an MMA fighter, so it's not really my thing, and, you know, it's interesting, but this is the nice thing about book groups is that you have to read things you wouldn't normally read, so I guess thanks for that book group. And then I also just started The Paul Murray, which is coming out in October, so if anybody loves Skippy Dies, which everybody should, He's got his new book coming out, and I'm very early on, but it is shaping out quite nicely.
What's it called?
The Mark and the Void. It seems to be a story about a writer who is deciding to write a book about a very boring financial bank dude.
Oh my god, that sounds great.
It is awesome. it is really, really well done. Again, Paul Murray, Skippy Dies, for anybody who doesn't know it, is a really brilliant kind of boarding school coming of age story, but just was this like indie bookseller like favorite when it came out, and just really funny, really beautifully done. I think this is going to do really well for the indie market, and I guess for anybody who likes a good story. And I'm also listening to Elizabeth Gilbert right now, which
Bad Magic. No, sorry.
Bad Magic.
Is it Bad Magic?
Big Magic.
Big Magic.
Big Magic. Bad Magic is a pseudonymous
Bosch. Yes. Sorry. Yeah, I'm not really a Gilbert, or I'm not really a self-helpy person, and I then heard Gilbert talk on a podcast about how writing a self-help book, which is like one of the most hated genres, was the most punk thing she could do, at which point I immediately went out and got the audiobook for Big Magic. So that is that, and it's going really well. I'm actually really enjoying it. So that's my game.
Liberty.
You read 20,000 books a year, so please tell us what you're currently reading.
Not that many. I did read 3 books today. I read like 2/3 of Mrs. Engels. I finished it by Gavin McRae, which was really good.
Yeah.
About the like, sort of unknown second wife of Frederick Engels. And I read Twain's End by Lynn Cullen, which is about Mark Twain at the end of his life and like this sort of contentious relationship he had with his secretary and his business manager and like all this other stuff, Helen Keller, love triangle, like all this crazy stuff. It was really good. I just, this morning on Instagram, somebody posted a photo of it and I'm like, I'm reading this, it's really good. And I looked on Edelweiss, so I was like, oh, okay, I'll read it too. I read another book, but I didn't enjoy it, so I don't want to tell you what it is because I don't like to put that out there. Let's see. And so tonight I'm going to read a book that is way too smart for me, like, but I'm a morbid little monster, so I decided I wanted to read it anyways. It's called Monsters, The Hindenburg Disaster and the Birth of Pathological Technology by Ed Regis. And it's about how the Hindenburg was like this horrible, like dangerous idea that like people still decided to go ahead with. And about other ideas like that throughout history and things that we're still doing, like the super collider and stuff like that, that are just like unrealistic and dangerous. And we're like, yeah, let's build this. It looks really cool.
That sounds nice. Interesting. So, new books that we're excited about. Like, late October, early November.
I mean, we've got Night Vale coming out on the 27th.
I finished that.
What did you think of it?
It was good. I'm still worried that people who don't listen to the podcast won't really, like, get it or appreciate its quirkiness. Okay. But I'm going to listen to it when the audiobook comes out somehow.
But you read it in print.
Yeah.
Do you think it translates well to print?
I think that I probably would have enjoyed it a little bit more as an audiobook. Yeah, but as like a fan, like already fan of Night Vale, I enjoyed it. It was cool. It was focused on two ladies, which is nice, but Cecil was still like kind of in there. And like all the characters and all like the jokes, you know, like they mentioned John Peters, you know, the farmer.
The farmer, of course. We also have the new David Mitchell. Slade House.
It's so awesome.
It's so good. So, Liberty, have you read the rest of David Mitchell's works? Okay.
Yeah.
I thought this was his most commercial, and normally that's a bad thing to say, but I think that's a really good thing to say for Mitchell.
Wait. I heard that a lot of people didn't like it.
See, I think that it's brilliant and wonderful, and I think that more people are not going to enjoy this as opposed to his other books.
Interesting. I mean, I thought it was more accessible. It's shorter. It doesn't have like quite as many like intertwined narrative structures they have to follow.
It is all those things, absolutely.
Yeah, it's like a fun haunted house story, but in a David Mitchell way.
Wait, so Liberty, you think more people won't like it?
Just from my personal experience with talking to other people who have already read it, the majority of them were like, I did not enjoy that. I'm like, what?
Interesting.
It's so awesome.
I wonder.
Were they all hardcore Mitchell fans?
Yeah.
Some of them were and some of them were not.
I wonder if they would have liked it better if they hadn't known who had written it.
I don't know. That's interesting.
So this is by Elena Ferrante. And Emma Stacey Schiff's also new book also comes out on the 27th.
You can't see me, but I'm gonna making be witch huge. Hands.
You're making witch hands? What do those look like?
You know.
Like Muppet hands, but like witchy?
Sure.
Like pointier. That book is going to be huge.
It's going to be so good.
Liberty, have you read it?
Yeah, it's awesome.
I still haven't read it.
Well, it's enormous. I mean,
it's so big and scary. I've had it since like July and I still haven't read it.
Yeah. I'm related to one of the Salem witches, so I read everything that I can about them all the time.
That's cool.
It turns out that almost all of us are related to the Salem witches if you look hard enough. True. But I'm related to one named Elizabeth Howe, who is also related to Catherine Howe, the author who wrote about the Salem witches and continues to write about witches and ghosty stuff. And
speaking of witches, I just finished Witches of America by Alex Marr, which comes out the week before on October 20th. Mm-hmm. And guys, it was so good.
I want to read that. That one I have not been able to get my hands on.
It was like, it just showed up in a box at work, and there were, like, three people there who were interested in witches, and I grabbed it before anyone else could. And now I'm kind of hesitant to lend it out, because it's coming out in hardcover, and I don't like hardcovers, but I marked up the shit out of this book, so I'm, like, gonna have to buy it eventually.
And transfer all of your annotations over.
Yeah. But, it's basically just about this woman who, was making a documentary about the occult and paganism, but was, like, especially fascinated by paganism, and then kind of ends up training in one sect, and then being initiated in another sect, and, like, all the while, it's not woo at all, like, she's very skeptical the entire time, and she just really, like, I've always been interested in paganism, like, as more intellectually than, like, in a belief way, and she really captured that feeling very well. It was fascinating.
Nice. Nice.
And she's doing a bunch of events in New York and Brooklyn, so I'm excited.
We also have the Science of the Magical. What's up with all the, like, mystical stuff coming out this fall? Science of the Magical, which is, like, from the Holy Grail to love potions to superpowers, and it, like, does a scientific background for all of these things. Hillary read it and just loved it. One of my coworkers at Elliott Bay.
My bookseller crush.
Yeah, Emma's bookseller crush. So, Emma, that means you need to read that, too.
Obviously.
Yep. Oh, it's gonna be so good. Now I'm, like, looking at my list of book notes stuff. Plotted, a literary atlas.
Oh, yeah, when's that coming out?
On the 20th of October. And, so if anybody went to Independent Bookstore or Bookstore Day last year, so the one that we first started our podcast for, one of the things that you could get was a, like, map of Huck Finn. And that map is one of the many, many, many maps that is in Plotted. And it's, like, mapping out, like, Borges' Labyrinth. And mapping out, like, Madeline L. Engel's, like, A Wrinkle in Time with, like, all of the time jumps and stuff like that. It's super beautiful, very cool. It's got some really cool essays along with it. And it's, like, $25 hardcover, which means we're just going to sell the crap $25? Out of it during Christmas. Yeah.
Is it a paper or a board?
Yeah, it is.
It's a paper over board?
Yeah, it is.
Damn. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's beautiful. It's really cool, and I'm really excited. And I finally got to see a copy at PNBA last week, which I promptly stole to give to a staff member to review for book notes. So that's that.
I thought we were friends. Why didn't you send it to me?
You have your own reps. Go find them.
Anyway.
Liberty, is there anything else you're excited for October, November-y
stuff? Oh, yes. We already talked talked about the Paul Murray. There's the reissue of Our Spoons Came from Woolworths by Barbara Cummins.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever read her?
No, I haven't, but that looks interesting.
Oh, she's so good. She's like in that, like, Paula Fox, Muriel Spark, Jane Bowles kind of group, and she's wonderful. And I'm excited about the last night's reading book.
Oh, yeah.
The Kate Gavino of, like, the illustrations she does of people while they're giving book readings. That's really cool.
It has such cute trim size.
Yeah, it's really good.
This is what Emma focuses on.
There's a new Mark Dunn coming out, I think, on the 27th of October.
Okay.
He wrote Elementop, which is one of my favorite books.
What's this new book called?
It's called We Five. I don't actually know anything else about it, just that I marked it down because I was like, New York Denver. Okay. That's it. That's all I know. I'm just going to get it and read it. So, yeah, I think that's it. Of course, there's a new Mary Gate skill at the beginning of November.
Oh, yep. The
new
Mary.
John Irving.
New Marilyn Robinson.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the essays.
Yeah, we got some big names this fall. Yeah. Umberto Eco's got a new book coming out.
Of course, there's Radiance by Kat Valenti.
Yes.
It's very exciting.
Liberty, did you read that?
I have not read it yet.
Are you a Valenti fan?
Oh, yes.
Okay. I'm reading Six Gun Snow White right now as well. I didn't mention that earlier, but yeah, I'm also doing that. It's a lot of fun. And it's like, you know, 150 pages or something. So it's like a nice little, like, either one sitting read or like right before you fall asleep and only have 5 minutes of reading time to read. It's good.
I still haven't read any of her adult novels.
Oh, Deathless is so good.
Yeah.
So good. She's been really busy lately. She's had, what just came out recently? The one about the speakeasy. It was called Speakeasy, right? I think it was like a $40 collector's limited edition book. I think it's called Speakeasy. There's that one. And then Six Gun Snow White. And there's another.
Which is a reissue, I think.
Yeah. I think it came out from Subterranean in the UK, but it wasn't here.
Well, I'm sure we'll get to more of the Valente talk when we talk about literary tattoos, Emma.
plans. So. I have plans.
Retail hard libraries trying to find me. That shit crack. That shit crack. That shit crack.
So, Liberty, your last bookselling job was at River Run Bookstore in New Hampshire. How long ago did you work there, and for how long?
I started in 2006. I was working at a restaurant, and it was a good decision and a bad decision because the owner figured out that I accounted for about 2% of the monthly business at the bookstore, and they were opening a used location because they were moving to a larger space on the main street, and so he asked me if I wanted to work there, which, of course, then you get a staff discount, and I still pretty much put my entire paycheck in there anyway. So I started that in 2006, but it's harder to work in a used bookstore. Like, lots of people don't understand that, at least for us, our inventory was based on what people brought us. Right. So people would come in and be like, I can't believe you don't have any Kurt Vonnegut. It's like, nobody turns Kurt Vonnegut in used. Like, we just don't, you know? But I read all the time, and I have a pretty good knowledge of books. So he was like, you're kind of going to waste over here. So he brought me over to the main store with the new books at the end of 2007. And then I worked there.
Things.
Yeah. I worked there until March of this year. So that's what happened. And it was really fun. And I loved it. It's just, I worked retail for like 24 years. And I got kind of burned out.
Yeah.
I definitely want to work in an independent bookstore again. I think maybe like next year I'll start looking. But right now I've just been doing all these online book jobs. And I read all day, every day. And that does not suck. Like, as much as people want me to tell them that it does, it really doesn't. You know, so I, you know, work for online sites and I review books and I do editing and I volunteer at the library and it's just books, 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 like 24/7, except I don't have to put on pants most of the time and I make my own hours, so.
And you're still selling books to people, you're just only selling the books that you really want to the people who will already be listening to you.
Yeah, I, like, at first I was sort of sad. I knew I would be, and I was like, I'm not selling books. But it's this, you said the same thing that a few other people have said. They're like, you're telling people about books constantly. You're just doing it in a different way. Like, you're online telling people these are the books you should read, and these are the great things that I'm reading, and all that stuff. So, it's you know, it still feels good to just, like, do that. But, I mean, with fewer people. Like, I volunteer at the library. They said, you know, what would you like to do here? And I was like, I would like to do anything that doesn't involve speaking to anyone. And they were like, okay. Like, someone online was just telling me, they're like, I just signed up to volunteer at the library. I'm working at the customer service desk. I was like, sucker. I shelve books and straighten them, and no one talks to me. It's great.
Well, can we talk a little bit about your All the Books podcast?
Yeah.
Because I know that Emma and I listen to it every week.
Yep.
Thanks, guys.
And so, like, you know, as a podcast about books who is talking to a person who podcasts about books, what has your experience been with it? Like, can you tell us a little bit about it for people who don't follow All the Books, which everybody should?
It is a weekly podcast I do with Rebecca Shinsky from Book Riot, and we talk about the day's new releases, or I should say the week's new releases. Most books come out on Tuesdays, but there are a few in between, and we each pick four that we really loved, usually, or we'll talk about something else, and discuss them, and it's really fun, and, you know, there's a lot of hip-hop lyric references. And cats. Yep. So it's awesome. It's really fun. And then I also do it works well for me because I write Book Riot's new release newsletter every week, so I'm already like eyeballs deep into the new books. So sometimes I'm like, I have to pick four for the podcast and five for the newsletter, and I'm like, but I have like six more that I want to talk about. They're like, no, cut it down, cool your jets. So it's great.
You read a shit ton of books.
I do.
So, how many books do you read in a... Emma's got a figure on our little Google sheet here. How many books do you read in a month?
It depends. Like, now. I mean, when I was working, you know, a full-time job, I usually read between 200 and 300. This year, I'll probably come in just under 5. So, because...
Under 500
yeah.
A year.
Just for this one year. This will be my biggest year ever.
One year.
My record, I think it was like 2002, was like 437, I think. But, I mean, like today I read 3 books, and then I'll start one tonight, and I might finish it, and I might not. You know, like on a normal day, I read 2 to 3. On a really good day, I read 4 to 5. And on a bad day, I read 1 or none. So... kind of all evens out.
We have so many questions about this. Yeah. How do you track?
Do you track
the books?
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely do. I have 7 journals that I write down. This is so OCD crazy. I have one journal where I keep track of the books by alphabetically by title. One where I keep track of the books alphabetically by author. One where I keep track of the books by page number. One where I keep track of the books by the date that I read them.
Wait.
We're
talking about like actual journals, like
physical
like
paper,
pieces of paper with that you use a pen for.
And then, I have a book where when I get books, I write down the title, and then I go and I check it off in the journal when I've read it. I also have a spreadsheet that I like to, and I also keep track of them on Edelweiss if they're available. And I used to have a Goodreads account, but I got bullied a lot, so I got rid of that. So, yeah.
You should totally get on Library Thing.
Library Thing is awesome.
Love it, hardcore. It's like Goodreads, but less comments, so less bullying.
Yeah, I just had
and more and more metadata, so, you know, super nerdy fun.
Yeah. It's been many years not that you now need since anything, I actually got rid of it, so.
How long have you been tracking your reading?
Well, since I was a little kid, but unfortunately, every, like, several years, like, I would move and I lost things, and I'd be like, oh, I don't need this anymore, and now, you know, I wish I had it. It's like, one of the few things that I still wish I had. So I've had these journals for, like, 10 years, I think.
Okay.
And my spreadsheets, I've been making one for, like, the last 3 years. So.
Wow.
Okay.
I used to keep track. I had one that I kept track of how much I spent on books every year.
No, don't track that shit.
It was amazing.
So do you read mostly physical books?
It's a mix now that I do the new releases. It's easier for me to get things in PDF form immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I read a lot of PDFs, and it
on your computer.
Yeah, just on my laptop.
Or do you have an e-reader?
I love it. I know a lot of people don't like to read on their laptop, but I love it. I don't have an e-reader or anything like that, and I love it. I do love physical copies, but I read PDFs faster. Like, I just kind of, like, scroll as I'm reading, so I found that I read them faster. Even though I'm like, I don't like this, I'm a computer-y thing, I can read them faster. And I can get them, you know. People will be like, oh, you know, let me send you a copy of that. I'm like, do you have the PDF? I'll just read the PDF. You know, so
the moral of the story is Penguin Random House needs to send you an iPad so that you can read their entire catalog in a given year.
No, they're very good at giving me things on Edelweiss,
though.
Yeah. Edelweiss is my best friend. We're best
friends. Yes, awesome.
And for non-industry folk, Edelweiss is our online catalog where we buy, like, all of our forthcoming books. But they do have a public presence So bloggers and reviewers and the general public can get access to advanced copies of books. So you should all look up Edelweiss, spelled like the, I don't know.
Song? The song.
Yep. So yeah, Edelweiss is like the primary bookseller catalog. But you can get galleys there. NetGalley is also a great place to get galleys of books from.
So Liberty, how many books do you have in your house?
Right now, approximately, I have, I keep, books if I really love them, or mm-hmm. if I read a PDF and I love a book, I will buy a physical copy of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have about, now I only have about 500 that I've kept, like, mm-hmm. over the last, like, 20 years that I, like, really loved and, like, I need to hold on to this. Before that, I used to keep every book that I read, whether I liked it or not, because I was like, I'm building a library! And then I got to, like, 5,000 books and I had to move, and I was like, oh my goodness! So, when we opened that secondhand bookstore I was telling you about, we opened it with all my books. Like, it was iCave.
Ah.
I sold him, like, 1,200 books.
Wow.
To start with.
In store credit?
Yep, pretty much. Which I spent quickly. uh-huh. And then I have another, I think I'm just under 3,000. I have another 3,000 books in the house that I have not read, which is crazy, right? I mean,
yeah.
The math, my boyfriend is always like, the math doesn't work. He's like, you're mm-hmm. reading like 3 or 4 books a day, but you're bringing in like 40 or 50 books a week. Now that I don't work at the bookstore, I bring in fewer. And I keep telling him, like, but I have 500 on my laptop. Like, think about that. Think about how much space I'm saving.
Uh-huh.
You know, but, yeah, I just have, I have the entire, like, top floor is, like, we call it the library and cat B&B, because like, that's where the cats hang out. It's perfect. All full of books. And then my office is jam-packed, so... He was in here the other day. He's like, looking like you might need another room. I was like, no, I'm going to empty out this closet and fill this one, too. So, like, I have books in the closets upstairs. It's crazy. It's awesome, though. It's so awesome. Until you have to move.
Right.
Yeah.
No, just stay there forever.
Yeah. Like, I know people who are like, oh, I can only have, like, 10 books at my house, and then that's it.
That but sounds uncomfortable.
I am out of control. I really am.
I've moved twice in the last 2 years and, you know, carted my 20 boxes of books each way, because that's important. So, can you tell us a little bit about your reading time itself? Like, reading, the idea of reading 3 or 4 books a day is unless you're reading...
It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, graphic novels or, like, very short graphic novels. like, I don't quite understand how that is a thing that is possible.
I really... Like, people are like, how do you read so much? It's like, I really do not do anything else. I do not do anything else. I get up in the morning, and I start reading, and I read all day. You know, I get up, I have a snack, I read all day. And I read, I think it's something like 536 words a minute. So that's like 2 pages a minute. So
okay.
I just that's sit.
Helpful. Yeah, it seems fairly average.
So...
A little faster. Is that
average? The average person reads 215 words a minute.
So it's twice as much as average.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I've been doing this since I was... I think so. I think, yeah. Like, when I was younger, people would be like, oh, you're a speed reader. And I was like, I'm not a speed reader, because that implied to me that I was skipping parts, and I don't do that, you know.
Right.
And but people would be like, you practice? But I mean, I've been reading since I was very little. Like, I've always read all the time. So... And people are like, oh, well, I read all the time. Yeah. And it's like, no... But I don't watch TV, you know, I don't go out of the house, you know, because then I have to put on pants. Like, I just, I don't do anything else. It's what I like to do, you know. And I understand that other people like to do that, too, and they don't read as fast, and I'm sorry. But it's just what I do. So I also sleep, like, 3 to 4 hours a night. Did we mention that? That's another reason I can get in so much reading.
Wait, how's, do you take like, a lot on a regular of naps? Basis?
No. I just don't sleep. I don't sleep very much.
Is this all the Red Bull talking?
Well, yeah, sometimes I drink a lot of Red Bull. This is like, people are like, I wish I could do it like you. I'm like, don't, it's so bad. My liver is going to fail. Like, Red Bull is so bad for you. But I sleep like 3 or 4 hours a night because I just fight it. I hate sleeping. I know that sounds ridiculous, right? But I get so angry when I'm sleepy because I'm like, I need to read. I need to read. I need to read. So, yeah, I sleep like 3 or 4 hours a night and I drink 4 to 5 Red Bulls a day. So I'll probably die soon. I will die very well red, but I will die soon.
Very well red, yeah.
So I figure
I'm
getting in.
You lived a full life.
Yeah, I'm getting in as many books as like I probably would have read anyway, so, you know. Okay. But don't try that at home, kids.
No, no. Stick to the PBR, y'all. Oh, Jesus.
Okay. Yeah. Like, when you listen to all the books, like, how fast I am talking depends on how, like, how long it's been since I had a Red Bull before we recorded. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes I'm like, this woman on Twitter the other day was like, I listened to your podcast at double speed, and I was like, how is that possible?
How? Yeah.
Like, can you even understand what we're saying? Are we talking backwards? Like, it talks so fast anyway. It's crazy. And it's also really, like, this is the first time I've interacted with anyone in, like, 3 days, besides my boyfriend, who works all the time and, you know, sleeps like a normal person. So, like, when I do leave the house, you know, like, I'll go to, like, the convenience store to get a drink, and I'm like, how are you today? How's it going? Hey, I like your shirt. What are you doing? What's going on? Hey, how's your day been? Like, you can just tell. They're like, this woman hasn't left the house, you know? I mean, well, I can't even imagine how many words I actually say out loud to the cats. It's embarrassing.
That's what they're there for. Yeah, no, you're talking to cat people, I think. Retail hard library is trying to find me. That shit crack. That shit crack. That shit crack. So, do you buy a lot of your books then? Or, like, I mean, I know that you probably get a shit ton of stuff from publishers and random publicists and folks within your context on Book Riot. But do you have a local bookstore that you normally buy from? Like, do you go to the store fairly often? Like, how does that work out for you?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I buy a ton of books every week still, even though, you know, like, I get all these galleys and stuff. Like, if I enjoy a book, I buy a finished copy. If I really, like, or I also buy a finished copy and donate it to the library, like, if I think that they should have it.
Okay.
This week, let's see, on Tuesday, there's this great bookstore called Water Street Books in Exeter, New Hampshire, that I love.
Mm-hmm.
They're about a 20-minute drive from me, so I went there, I bought a bunch of books, most of them were finished copies of things that I had read and loved, things I wanted to give to the library. Then that night, in the middle of the night, I realized that Small Beer Press takes PayPal. Because I don't have a credit card. And so then I ended up dropping $100 on their site. And it's like, I just bought books at the bookstore today. There's Sherman's Books in Portland, Maine, which is about a 45-minute drive from me. I love Josh Christie, the manager. So I go up there. I try to spread the love.
Uh-huh.
I work with a librarian who works at Barnes & Noble. So, like, I, like, go in there once in a while, like, support her. Because I know a lot of cool people that work at Barnes & Noble. I know, like, indie bookstores.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Barnes & Noble, we don't really mix, but...
Yeah. Most of us got our start at, like, Barnes & Noble and Borders. Let's
be
real.
Yeah.
So, I do
buy a lot of books, though, still.
Nice. And how do you choose what to read next? If you're buying all these books, you're probably getting a crap ton of books, and you've got a lot of books in your, house at this point. How do you choose what to read next?
Because I work almost exclusively doing the new release information on Book Riot, and also doing the judging for the Book of the Month Club, reading advanced copies. Okay. I read mostly new releases, and then I try to fit in a backlist title, like, every day or two. That's something that I really wanted to read, or something that I might have missed, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do read almost exclusively new releases, and you know how it is, like, people are asking you about things and you're like, oh wait, that doesn't come out for 6 months. You know, so I have a lot of that going on. I'm like, wait, you should read this book, like, at the library, like, I'll be talking, I'm like, you should read this book, they're like, oh, where is it? I'm like, it's not out till next year, sorry. It's a lot of that going on, but yeah, I never read, I mean, obviously, before I was a bookseller, I didn't have, you know, access to advanced copies, really, so
yeah,
like, but I just read almost exclusively stuff that's coming out.
I thought I was a genius at work and started, like, a hashtag am reading display for all the booksellers to, like, put up whatever they're currently reading, and then realized that I was an idiot because, like, most of us are reading months in advance, and so, like, you know, like, hopefully somebody's reading something that's already out, and, like, we'll toss that on there, but...
It should be hashtag was reading.
Was reading, yeah, but that kind of loses the, like, you know, I don't know, the feeling behind it. Yeah. Anyway.
Liberty, can you talk a little bit more about the Bookspins Book Club of the Month? What is that?
It is, like, when you hear Book of the Month Club, it is the Book of the Month Club. It was established, like, 100 years ago. And, you know, it's like those weird hardcovers that you encounter every once in a while from, like, you know, 50 years ago. That was the Book of the Month Club. They had, you know, weird editions of things. And now it's, like, an online program where there's, I think, 6 of us who are judges, and we read, they give us a list of books, we read as many or as few as we want, and pick which ones we want to endorse, and then people can go online and choose from the ones that we're endorsing and get it in the mail.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it's like, nice. It's a book club. It's very fun. I just got my new list, like, about an hour ago, and I was like, woo! All this cool stuff that I get to pick. Most of it, I'm like, oh, I already have all those, but some of them I have not. It's really fun, though.
So what is a, like, a description of a book? Like, you're holding the back of the book and you read it, and it's, like, guaranteed to, like, make you immediately begin to read that book. Like, what is your wheelhouse?
Oh, things that are compared to Kurt Vonnegut. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I will read pretty much anything that they say is, like, The Secret History, although I have yet to find a book that is actually, like, The Secret History. Mm. Like, I will fall for it every time, but you know, and it's kind of funny because even though, like, we work in the industry and we know how blurbs sort of work, like, 9 times out of 10, if a book has a blurb, it's from, you know, somebody who has the same agent as that author, right, or is friends with, yep, that author. I'll still read things that are blurbed by people that I love.
Yeah.
I still will.
No, if Kelly Link blurbs a book, I'm gonna pick it up.
Yeah. Well, and I think it says something about, like, who the expected audience is, not exactly necessarily, like, that person, like, I don't think anybody thinks that, like, oh, Kelly Link really loves this book necessarily. It's like, this is what the publisher, like, is getting at.
Right. Yeah. It's more of if you like this person, then you'll like this person.
Like, I read the Clasp by Sloane Crosley because Gary Stengart said it was The Goonies written by Laurie Moore. I was like, okay.
All right, so Liberty, we always ask a bookseller that we have on what their Station 11 and their Wild books would be. And their Station 11 book is just the book that you would carry with you after an apocalyptic event. And your Wild book is the book that you would bring with you on an epic journey and that you wouldn't, like, discard while also on that journey. You would, like, carry it with you the whole time.
So you wouldn't tear the pages out as you read it?
And burn it for fuel.
This is so hard. It's so hard. I made little notes for pretty much everything except this. I was like, I'm just gonna say whatever comes to mind. So, like, Desert Island books, it would be, like, The Westing Game.
Oh, that's such a good one.
The Giant's House, The Known World, The Secret History. I read The Secret History every year. This giant crate of books washed up with me. What are you talking about?
No, totally.
Like, The Secret History. I very rarely reread books because, you know, I just don't have the time. Or I don't make the time, I should say. But I do read The Secret History every February, so I've read it 23 times now. So I would definitely bring that. The Sorrows of Young Werther, definitely. Yeah, I think that's it for Desert Island books. Oh, My Name is Asher Lev. Have you ever read that?
I haven't read that, but I saw everybody talking about it on the Book Riot Slack channel.
I wish that I had read that book when I was young because I think it would have changed my life. I really do.
Wait, what is this book?
My Name is Asher Lev by Chaim Potok, I think is how you say his name.
Oh, okay.
It's so incredible. It's like about this little boy. He's a Hasidic Jew, and he wants to paint pictures of Jesus, and everyone in his community is like, you can't do that. Like, you just can't.
That's awkward.
And yeah, he insists on doing it, and it's, like, it's about, like, art and nonconformism, and it's, but, like, the way he speaks about art and religion and family, and it's just, it's amazing. Amazing.
That sounds interesting.
Oh, it's so incredible. I was like, why didn't I have to read this in school? Practically everybody I know who's, like, older than me had to read it in school, and then, boom, nothing for us. We had to read stupid, separate piece, whatever, tree-shaking dummies. I don't like that book.
So a desert island would allow you the library to keep up with your current taste. I'm particularly interested in, you know, as somebody who is currently reading 500 books a year, what were the couple books that you would pick?
For the apocalypse. I guess I would have to pick different ones than the ones I just said because it wouldn't be that exciting. I would probably take Blood Meridian. which is
interesting.
Yeah, I think the judge is the most interesting character in fiction. Have you read that book?
I've read a lot, like, other McCarthy, but not
I haven't read Blood Meridian.
So,
well, Blood Meridian makes the road look like, you know, a child's playground.
I'm not sure I'll read Blood Meridian. It's so violent
and dark, and it's incredible.
Wait, and that's what you would want post-apocalypse?
Sure, why not? everything stinks already. Like,
why not revel in it? Okay,
and Pat, what, like, and Pat the Bunny, maybe? that's a great
book. That might be the best combo of books anybody has ever said for this.
And probably
question,
a Charles Portis book. Okay. I think he's the greatest living American writer currently. I say not writing, but he could be writing, but he's not publishing. Mm-hmm. He hasn't published a book since like 1993, so probably not getting anything else from him. He's in his 80s now. But he is remarkable, and everybody goes, I don't know who he is, and you say, he wrote True Grit, and everybody goes, oh, I know who he is. I'm blanking on all the other titles of his books right now, but I would take one of his other ones. He's incredible. He's so amazing. And heavily influenced Donna Tartt. Like, if you read...
Really?
Yeah, I was not aware of until I read... She wrote an introduction for a new edition of True Grit, and then I went back and read A Little Friend again, and I was like, oh, that makes so much more sense. Like, that book is full of his influence.
I love seeing that kind of connection.
Yeah,
so that's fun. What about your wild book?
Yeah, wild.
That's so hard. It's like, do you ever have that problem where you can't name any books single people ask you? Like, I've read all these books this year, and I'm like, I don't know. What book would I bring with me on an epic journey? Probably Calvin and Hobbes cartoons.
Yeah.
There you go. That's my Desert Island book, is like the whole fucking $150 series.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah, but that's really heavy to backpack the PCT with.
That is true. So it was maybe something.
An iPad with it and an external charger? I don't know. Are we allowed to, is that cheating?
That's cheating. Then you can put a million books on it.
I know, it's so good.
And you don't have to burn it.
Yeah.
You can't.
Anyway. Okay.
Then your batteries would run out and that would be sad. Unless you get to stop places where there's power.
Yeah. I do e-read pretty regularly, only for galleys, because I don't like galleys piling up in my apartment. And every time my e-reader runs out of batteries, I'm like, this is why we have real books. I shake my fist at the world. And then, you know, I recharge it and it's fine.
Read so hard, libraries try to find me. That shit crack. That shit crack. That shit crack.
What is your go-to hand sell? When somebody just, like,
they give you comes nothing.
Up to you. Yeah.
When they give
and
me
they
nothing.
Want a book.
I love LMNOP, which I mentioned earlier, by Mark Dunn. Mm-hmm. Have you read that, either of you?
I haven't. My brother had to read it for school, and it sounded so
really?
Interesting.
Really? That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Never read
either. Oh, I'm so excited to hear that they assigned that for school. It's so awesome. It's an epistolary, and it's... I always feel like I'm not saying that word right. I did
no,
say that
you
word
are.
Right. It came out of my mouth. Can you tell I sit in my house and mostly don't speak to anyone except the cats? I just talk to the cats all day. But if you don't know the premise, it takes place on this fictional island off the coast of the United States where a letter falls off a sign and hits somebody on the head. I think it's a letter N, but I'm not sure. So the town outlaws that letter. So now the following letters that are being written can't use that letter, and then more letters start getting banned, and as each letter gets banned, the book loses those letters from the text until he's like really scrambling to try and put words together without using those certain letters. It's really smart and brilliant. It's just so cool, and it's also like pretty pleasant. Like, people would come in the store and be like, I want to read something happy. It's like, well, that doesn't exist.
It's nothing.
Yeah,
nothing,
but
you.
I would, that's like the book that I would give them. And also usually, like, The Lost City of Z or The Devil in the White City.
What's The Lost City of Z?
It's the story of Percy Fawcett, who is a pretty much real-life Indiana Jones, who used to explore parts of the Amazon that other people hadn't explored before. And then one day he walked into the Amazon and never came out. He was looking for The Lost City of Z. Like, he thought that he knew where the City of Gold was, and he took his son and his son's friend, and they walked into the woods, and they were never seen again. And many, many, many people died trying to find them, like trying to recreate his journey and figure out what happened to him. And David Gran, who I think he did this for the New Yorker, he wrote a short piece and then turned it into a book, he decided that he was going to take that journey. And it's incredible.
Wow. That sounds fascinating.
Yeah, it's really fun. Mm.
What about an impossible handsel? Like a book that you really want to recommend to people, but you don't want them to be put off?
Well, I don't know about being put off, but the book that I was, that was my staff pick for many, many years that I could not get people to purchase was The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Wait, really?
Like, I would put my staff pick in all these other books and be like, you know, here's a book I like, and people would buy them, and you know, you take your staff pick out, whatever, and put it in another copy. But nobody wanted The Talented Mr. Ripley. Like, it just did not sell. And I couldn't tell if it was because everybody had already read it, if it was because the movie ruined it for everyone. Like, I just could not move The Talented Mr. Ripley. Yeah. Later on, it would have to be Tampa.
Right, like, yeah, that's what we always end up talking about.
Yeah, that was the origin story for this question, because Kevin Samsel gave that to me at one point and was like, I think you really like this, and I was reading it being like, what the fuck does Kevin think of me?
Yeah, but it's so good. It is a mic drop of a book. Like, you just, yeah. That's it. That's what I call it. She doesn't ever have to write anything else again. People will be talking about this book forever. And you're reading it and you're like, I feel like a horrible person for enjoying this. Her writing is phenomenal. This is so awful. Like, oh, and it's
this has
fuzzy.
The best cover, like, of all time. Yeah. Okay, no, the fuzzy cover was rough. That was rough.
Oh, my goodness. There was this one day where this girl was standing with her mom, like, waiting for her mother, and she reached up and she started petting the cover. She was, like, 8. I was like,
please
stop touching that. Yeah. No, that book is so awesome. That's hilarious that that is where it came from, because...
Yeah. It's pretty great. Wait, okay, so I want to talk about your literary tattoos.
Yeah. Oh, I only have a couple, I think. I have quotes down my forearms. One side says, "What a punishing business it is simply being alive," which is a Sarah Waters quote from The Little Stranger. And so good. Speaking of middle grade war books that you had to read, the other arm is a Stephen Crane quote. It's not from his war book, but it says, "Because it is bitter and because it is my heart," which is from my favorite poem of all time, which is called In the Desert. And I have a Kurt Vonnegut tattoo of the Goodbye Blue Monday bomb. And I think that's it. I have a couple from graphic novels, but...
That counts. Of course that counts.
I have the Baba Yaga chicken leg house from Hellboy, which is part of his origin story. And I have it's a juice box with a drink umbrella in it from The Tick. Because he's like, this place is great, and it has fancy drinks. And then he holds up a juice box with a drink umbrella in it, which is kind of awesome. So I would love to have a lot more. I have 39 tattoos, I think. I would like to have a lot more literary tattoos. But I actually have more music-related tattoos somehow. That worked out. I don't know. So someday.
What is the last book you purchased?
The other Tuesday, I went to Water Street Books. I bought 8 books there. And of course. Then I bought a bunch from Small Beer that night online.
Wait, which books did you buy from Small Beer?
I don't know how to pronounce his name. Aiz Jama Everett. I bought Liminal States, The Liminal War, and The Liminal People.
Okay.
And I also bought an Angelica Gorodice book, because she wrote something called Prodigies, which they just published, and it's one of my favorites of the year. Mm-hmm. So she has a couple of other books that were translated already. By Ursula K. Le Guin. Nice. So I bought that one too. Yeah, and at Water Street I bought mostly finished copies of things that I had read and loved, and I bought a couple of books to donate to the library that I thought they should have. So, which is like The Oyster War by Summer Brennan.
Oh yeah, I've heard a lot about that, but I still haven't read it.
It's really interesting, and like I need to get parental controls on my library account, because every time I hear a book, like a backlist book, I just go on and I request it, and so now I have like 60 books in my house from the library, which is the limit. And it's just crazy, because like I'm constantly like renewing them and taking them back and taking them back out.
Wait, when you donate something to the library, is it just like you just bring them a hardcover book that's awesome that's not in their catalog, and you're like, here, have this?
Yeah, or it might be in the, you know, the state catalog, but like I was like, you know, you probably need another copy of The Girl in the Spider Web or whatever the new Stieg Larsson thing is, you know. And yeah, or I'll be like, here's a pile of books, pick which ones you want, you know, for the library, and if you don't want the other ones, pass them out amongst yourselves. So
I do actually remove a lot of books from my house, too. Just not fast enough for my floor joists, so.
Legit. What's the last book you gifted, other than to the library?
I gave my boyfriend's friend a copy of the new Patti Smith book yesterday.
M-Train.
Yeah, because I thought she should have it.
Do you have any go-to gifts?
Go-to gifts? No. No, I don't really think I do. Although, I really like making recommendations, and I like picking books, like, based on people's tastes. And yeah. I always give books. Like, even if people don't read, I don't care. That is not my problem. Mm-hmm. Like, I will give you a
That's
book.
That's their problem.
And you have to deal with it.
Okay, so let's do some shout-outs. Emma's got on here, can we just talk about cats for a while? We all really love cats.
Yeah, we like cats.
I'm just going to skip that and go straight to shout-outs.
What are your cats' names, Liberty? Right. How many cats do you have?
I have two cats, Steinbeck and Malay.
Mm.
Of course.
That's nice. Yeah. What made you choose Steinbeck and Malay?
I can't believe I didn't say Cannery Row when we were talking about Desert Island books. Cannery Row, I always tell people it's my favorite book, but I can't even put into words why. So, like, on my staff pick, it just said, you know, watch this space, because it's so good. That would be a great wild book, because it's so tiny. I love him. I've read all of his books, except East of Eden. It just turned out that way that I have not read, like, his most popular, most famous, largest book. And I still haven't, because I'm like, if I read that, then I'll have read all of him, and, you know.
There will be no more.
So, I was getting Malay, and Steinbeck is one of her kittens, and I was adopting them, and I was like, I want to name him Spork, because I just read Angel Maker by Nick Hargaway, mm-hmm. and one of the characters is Joe Spork. And I think it was Jen Northington, actually, from Word, she was like, he's so beautiful. You can't name him Spork. Like, that's so it's so undignified. He needs, like, a really So I named him Steinbeck, and he turned out to be the dumbest cat I've ever met. Aww. And he's a total spork. And I'm just like, you know, so he has, like, this epic name. But he doesn't have a nickname. Like, I don't have a nickname for him. I just always call him Steinbeck. I don't know. Sometimes Mr. Face, but mostly Steinbeck. And then his mom is Malay, and they don't like each other.
Oh.
They don't hang. I think they would. No.
Yeah.
No. I asked the vet. I'm like, does she know that he's her kid? He's like, no. No. They just don't like each other. Huh. So.
That's how my cats are. That's great.
Yeah.
Super fun.
Yeah, I worry about getting a second cat because of that. My cat is also, has a literary name, but I lie and I pretend he's named after the video game character, but his name is Link, and he's named after Kelly Link.
Obviously.
Why wouldn't you name your cat after Kelly Link?
I already feel like she thinks I'm a creepy stalker because I also, I have one tattoo, and it's a tattoo from one of her short stories. I just feel like every time she and I interact, she just thinks I'm a weirdo creepy stalker.
My Sarah Waters tattoo, her editor took a picture of it and sent it to her, and she sent me a nice email. Stephen Crane has yet to email me. Which is really rude, I think.
Come on. You put that on your body forever.
I know!
Showing an author your tattoo is super awkward.
I only did it with Sarah Waters, and I was so nervous.
Emma, did you do that to Kelly Link?
Yeah.
You'd have to take your shoes off.
No. I got the tattoo placed just above my Converse line.
Okay.
Converse line, that's a great way to do it.
Yeah. but, like, her publicist and her editor were all like, yeah, this is the girl who has the tattoo on her ankle of your stuff. And she's like, oh, that's cool.
Okay, so, Liberty, what sort of a literary media, other than your own podcast and bookish website, meaning all the books and Book Riot, what sort of literary media do you use to, like, interact with the literary world?
I read, let's see, Lit Hub, that new, what's it called? Is it Scott Cheshire who just started a new one? The Schofield, is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah.
Mm. I think that's him. Maybe it's Scott something else. I'm terrible at remembering. I like, you know, FlavorWire. I read the BuzzFeed lists. Mm-hmm. I read The Millions. I read Electric Literature. I subscribe to all their newsletters, and so, like, read them throughout the day as they come in. Publishers Weekly, Shelf Awareness, all of the publishers' emails. I get probably 40 or 50 book-related emails a day.
Wow.
So.
And you read all of those in addition to the 5 books.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What about...
I'm so impressed by you.
Thank you.
I don't
want
to be, like, a trolling kid, but, like, I know, like, that's amazing. That's great.
You know, my mom trained me for this.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Like, I worked in the library when I was a little kid, and then she worked at a bookstore, and I volunteered there, and I've just had a lot of practice with the books, so...
Awesome.
You also have a tiny letter.
Oh, yes. Yes. Because,
comes alive.
Because Book Riot has to, like, kind of contain me. you know, I'm like, because I don't think I discussed this, but, picking books for the newsletter and for the, podcast, I will read anywhere from, if it goes really well for me, I'll read, like, 10 new releases that I really liked, and sometimes I'll read new releases that I didn't like, so I have to read more, so I'll read anywhere from, like, 10 to 20 mm-hmm. books for each new release day. But sometimes I'll read, like, you know, a whole ton of them, and I'm like, I want to talk about 50 of them today, you know, and they'll be like, 5. And I'm like, oh, but I want it. They're like, 5. So I started the tiny letter to kind of talk about more books, like, get, like, a whole complete list. Give everybody a look at, like, everything that I knew of that was coming out that day. I certainly miss things, but it's just, like, I try and make a complete list of everything that's coming out, whether I've read it or not. And then I also get to talk about, like, you know, Poochie from when I was a little kid, the pink dog with a stamp on its paw, and, you know, old hip-hop songs and things like that. So it's fun. It's really fun. And I do the galley giveaway. That's one way that I get rid of books in my house. Which is really smart. Cool. And people write to me, and they're really fun and nice and smart, and it's always so interesting, their answers. So, I love it.
Retail hard library is trying to find me. That shit crack. That shit crack. That shit crack.
So, other than your tiny letter, how can we find you on the internet?
Let's see. Tomorrow I'm meeting with somebody to get a website, because I want to put, like, more content out there about books.
Mm-hmm.
Just be like, because I have a Tumblr, which is called Friends and Comes Alive. and that's also my tiny letter.
Can you explain that name?
So I questioned the internet when I started it. And it's like, people who are my age and older get the reference, and most people who, and I'm 40, and people who are younger than me mostly do not get the reference. But it's a take on Frampton Comes Alive, which was a very famous Peter Frampton album in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, Friends and Comes Alive. That's the name of my tiny letter as
Thank
well.
You.
And I'm on Twitter at Miss Liberty, like M-I-S-S. And yeah, and then soon I'll have a website, which will also be friendsandcomesalive.com, I believe. Unless I change my mind for some reason tomorrow and pick, like, you know, pink sparkle ponies. I don't know.
Okay, well, Liberty, thank you so much for coming out and hanging out with us tonight.
Thanks today, for inviting me and listening to me babble on.
Yeah, of course, of course. we all aspire to be you.
And
to read as much as you.
I would love to only sleep for 3 hours.
Yeah, that'd be really nice.
It sounds crazy when you say it. I sound like a crazy person. Wait, I am.
Okay. You can follow Drunk Booksellers on the internet at Drunk Bookseller, singular, on Twitter, even though there are two of us.
And everywhere else it's plural.
Yeah, everywhere else it's plural. Also, like, if you Google Drunk Bookseller, you find us, because apparently
we're the only ones.
Drunk Booksellers. I don't know. Weird.
I thought all booksellers drank.
Yeah, right? Also, everybody should, you know, if you like us and listen to us and shit, please feel free to rate us on iTunes, because that's cool. You know, this is our 5th episode. We're really excited to be continuing to do this, and we want more people who aren't just following us on Twitter to know about us. So please do that. And by all means, follow Liberty's podcast, All the Books, because
it's awesome.
Way better than Drunk Booksellers, and you should be doing
They get
that,
to
so.
Things quicker, they talk about all the books.
They don't ramble as much, it doesn't take them 3 weeks to come out, they're obviously after recording, like, it's a really sweet deal.
I am now marking my page. Don't want a crease on my page. Don't let me forget this page. Don't let me forget this page.
I am now marking my page. Don't want a crease on my page. Don't let me forget this page. Don't want to forget this page. Page.